Okay, so you all hear me? Okay.
Yes.
Assuming. You hear me? Great, let's go. Okay, terrific. Okay. So the sugya we're doing today is the sugya of which it's probably takes more than 1 week. And I first want to deal with the sugya itself, and then maybe in the coming weeks deal with how it's relevant today. So just to look at the sugya as the first thing, and the question is, which I started to talk about, when a person, you know, eats fruit during a meal. So it's very curious, according to Chazal, according to the Shulchan Aruch, when a person eats fruit during a meal, whether it's the beginning of the meal or the middle of the meal or the end of the meal, you got to make a special bracha. But even though you made hamotzi and you, even though you made hamotzi and you, you know, you're eating a regular meal and everything else does not require a bracha. So according to Chazal, fruit requires a bracha. Why is that? As we'll see in a few minutes, is because fruit is something which is not dvarim havoyim machmas asuda. Fruit is not considered something which comes because of meal food. Fruit is more like a snack food. It's not something which is normally eating as a meal food. Okay, now the truth is, someone can argue and say, well, maybe today that's not true, because today people do go ahead and people do eat fruit during a meal. It's actually a regular occurrence. That could be very true, but I'm not dealing with that today. We have to look at the sugya. I'll deal with that, Mirtz Hashem, hopefully next week. You can't look at something and say, well, what's going on today, before understanding the sugya itself. In other words, a person has to always start from the very beginning and work himself forward. So once we see the sugya, then we can discuss and see, well, does this halacha apply today? To say that this halacha applies today without discussing the sugya is taking the wrong approach. Let's start with the sugya today and see exactly where it goes. And let's see. So if you look at source number one, it's Gemara Maseches Brachos Daf Mem Aleph on the base. So the Gemara there says, Itmar Heviu Lefneihem Te'enim Vanovim V'Socha Suda. So let's say they brought before everybody Te'enim, figs and grapes in the middle of the meal. So Amar Avuna, Avuna says, Tunim Bracha Lefneihem. You need to make a bracha before. In other words, even though you made Amotzi, you still have to make another bracha for your eights. Ve'ein Tunim Bracha Lachreim. You don't need the bracha afterwards, because the Birchas HaMazon will patir the fruit from a bracha achron. However, the motzi is not pater the eights. The chener of Nachman tunim bracha lefneihem, the ain tunim bracha lachreihem. And Rav Sheisha says, no, if you eat fruit in the middle of the meal, you eat a bracha before you eat the fruit and a bracha afterwards. And we saw this piece of the Gemara before that the Gemara says that everything that requires a bracha before requires a bracha afterwards, okay, in general. So in other words, so basically, so far we've seen a few things that say that when you eat fruit in the middle of the meal, you have to make a bracha before, and you don't make a bracha afterwards. The Birchas Mazon patters a bracha afterwards. So you look at source number two, You look at in source number one, four lines down, Amar Rav Papa says, Hilchasa, therefore, what's the halacha? Dvarim habayim machmasud v'sochasuda. Anything which comes in the middle of the meal, because of the meal, ain tunim bracha, does not require a bracha, lo l'pneihem, not before you eat, lo l'achreim, not after you eat. V'shalom machmasasuda, but something which requires, which is something which is not, require something which is not machmas suda, but so chasuda. So tunim bracha lefneim, vein tunim bracha lefneim does not require a bracha before. Requires a bracha before, not afterwards. So the Gemara says that something which is, and this is important. They said the Gemara says that something which is not ba machmas suda, it's not a meal food, but it's eaten in the middle of the meal. And when I say the middle of the meal, is I mean like this. Either can be eaten as a first course, or it can be as a second course, or a third course, or a fourth course, as dessert, as opposed to, in that situation, we require ha'eitz before, and birkas of mazon will patter it afterwards. The last case is something which I don't think is relevant today at all, truth is, maybe it is relevant, I don't know. But the last case Gemara mentions is, let's say, for example, the meal is totally over and you're sitting and talking for an hour, two, 3 hours. And I guess a good example would be is you bring sunflower seeds and you bring nuts to the table. And what you're doing is you're basically sitting there for two, 3 hours and you're talking, you're eating, the dessert's over. So then that situation requires a bracha before and a bracha afterwards.
The Birkas Mazon is not. Have you benched already?
No, no. It seems in the olden days, they used to do that a lot. In other words, what I'm saying is, like, and truth is, it's a shiloh if you think about it, that I'll ask an example, or if you think about it, right? So we have desserts, all right? Dessert could be fruit, it could be cookies and cake, it could be sorbet, it could be whatever it is, right? But let me ask a question. If you think about it, how many people would say putting nuts down on the table is a dessert food? Go ahead. What? It really, nuts, I think, are put down. Is you're talking, right? So you want to have something there people nibble on. So if you ask me, you want to talk about this, that's what it seems like. We're talking those days, the custom was. Remember, in those days, and not so much today, but in those days, a meal was a social interaction. But it was such an important social interaction, the meal didn't last 1 hour, 2 hours. A meal could last 4 hours or 5 hours. You know, when Chazal speaking about the fact that on Yontif, you should spend the whole morning in shul, davening and learning until Chatzos, and then daven mincha, and then spend the rest of the day partying, they spent the rest of the day of a meal. It was a different phenomenon. So what we're talking here is that if you eat a food after the meal, which is not part of the meal, so you don't require a bracha before or afterwards. I'll give another example. And I know this is something that probably none of us would ever do. But let's say you had a meal, okay? And you had your first course, your second course, your third course, your fourth course. Then you sat down, you wanted to start talking and schmoozing. And I guess you had, forgive me for using this example, yeshiva guys there. So you went to the barbecue, not on Shabbos, and you served chicken wings for the next hour and a half, right? That would be something which I think you would require a bracha before or afterward because the meal is over, all right? It's hard for us to understand this because we in general don't do this. By us, the meal's over, the meal's over. But I'm saying, if someone actually put down nuts at the end of the meal or, you know, after dessert, you know, because you're sitting and talking for an hour or 2 hours. Let's say, you know, I think a better example would be is you have dessert and you're talking and you're talking and you're talking. And, you know, let me put out some chips and this and that. I think you would require a bracha before and afterwards, okay? Anyways, that's not the reason I did the sugya. But so what we're dealing with today is where it's considered part of the meal, part of the meal. So he says, so then you make a bracha before and not afterwards, all right? So he says, so what does it mean? So if you look at source number two, Rashi, and Rashi says something which is, I guess, amazing. Rashi says, hafil ifneim anavim v'te'enim. So you go ahead and you make a bor pri'etz before and not afterwards. So what are we talking about? In other words, in most situations, Rashi says you have to make a bracha before and not afterwards. That's what the Gemara is saying. When don't you have to make a bracha according to the Gemara? You look at Rashi in source number two, the lo lalafes es hapas. If it's not coming on bread itself. In other words, when does the Gemara say you make a special bracha on fruit? When you're eating it without bread. But if the same time you are going ahead and you are eating fruit, you're eating bread at the exact same time, that's what the Gemara says you don't need a bracha. So according to Rashi, so if you're eating fruit in the middle of a meal and you're not eating bread at the same time, so according to Rashi, so you need to make a bracha. If at the same time you're eating bread, you eat the fruit, or as you say, you're eating bread, then you don't have to make a bracha. That's according to Rashi. As Rashi explains, the imkain habilu hutfela, because that's the case, so then it's tuffel, the ein cholik bedavar, and there's no one who argues, she ain't tonen bracha lovan lachrav, Elapamim, he says, when do you say you need to go ahead and make a bracha? If you're coming to go ahead, it's called, as you know, it's called a palate sweetener or something. What is it called? The palate, whatever.
Cleanse the palate.
Cleanse the palate. Okay, whatever it is, palate cleanser. Right. So, in other words, Lord, I guess this makes a difference between what, you know, the old days and today. But in the old days, they would go ahead and they were very concerned about what went into their mouth, and you know, everything had to have, you know, the right taste. Everything had to be perfect. So therefore, sometimes if something wasn't exactly right, they would go ahead and they would take a fruit to somehow or another do something with their taste buds. You know, I just heard actually, as I was listening to the Hespedim for Dr. Lamb, so Rabbi Ari Berman said that, you know, Rabbi Lamb, when he gave a drasha, he spoke about this. He was in a certain sense an architect. Everything had to be perfect. Everything. Rabbi Lamb said to him, if you're making a joke before the hitch is a good idea, make sure your joke is not that good that they don't remember what you actually said. He said to Rabbi Ari Berman, your joke was so good, I remember your Devar Torah, I remember your joke. So I think in the old days when they used to eat, so in other words, it's not that, you know, they had to have the fanciest foods. That wasn't the issue. The issue was that everything had to work out exactly. So if they felt there was something missing at some point, you know, they would go ahead and they would put some fruit in their mouth to have a little taste of sweetness. You know, like I always say that if anybody back in America, if anybody would eat ice cream and he would assume that Häagen-Dazs is the same thing as, I don't know, whatever flavor you used to have, like, there's definitely something wrong. You don't know how to appreciate ice cream. All right. So he says the same thing. So therefore he says, when is the Gemara say? So the Gemara says that when you go ahead and make a new bracha, you make a new bracha. He says, don't you make a bracha if you're eating the bread and the fruit at the same time? But if you're not eating the bread and the fruit at the same time, and Rashi assumes in that situation you're only doing it in order to cleanse your palate, to sweeten your palate, then you make a bracha. But if you're eating the bread at the exact same time as eating the fruit, you don't make a bracha. I would just mention that my father, if I remember correctly, it's been so long, and I can't say that I paid attention to it. Whenever he had fruit during a meal, whether it was applesauce or whether it was fruit salad, he would always eat bread at the same time as he was eating the fruit, not to get involved in the machlokas, to be choshen shitas Rashi. Because Rashi seems to imply that you only skip the bracha if you're eating bread at the exact same time. He didn't make a big deal out of it. He didn't go ahead and say it's all you have to do. But you know, he was this is what he himself was machmed on, to be choshev for this machloka shitas Rashi. All right. So then, what does Rashi say? So Rashi says mevarech lifneihem. You make a bracha before if you didn't have bread. He says, and then the other bracha says that once you don't pass by, he says even the benching doesn't pass to the fruit, because fruit is not something which is zong, which gives sustenance. Okay, fine. So let's see. So if you look at source number three, Tosfos. So Tosfos quotes the same idea. Where it's coming as a dessert, then you make a bracha before, but not a bracha afterwards. All right. So I would just point out, by the way, that if someone is having a meal, like for example, suda shlishit, and all he's eating is fruit, there's no question he'll make an extra bracha. There's no question. We're talking about where you go ahead and you're eating a meal with fruit, and the fruit is inside the meal itself. Now, however, if you look at source number four, and that's Tosfos. So Tosfos says, let me highlight a little bit. Tosfos says he doesn't like what Rashi says. Why? Because he says, He says, Rashi, he says, what am I talking about? You eat it with bread. So the Gemara is clear, if you eat it with bread, you don't make hamotz. You don't make a special bracha. If you do eat it with bread, if you eat it with bread, you don't make a special bracha. If you don't eat it with bread, you don't make a special bracha. So Tosfos doesn't like that because Tosfos says, like, that's not a chiddush. That's obvious. You know, what do you mean it's obvious? If, let's say, for example, if I decide I want a piece of chocolate in the meal, all right? And I go to the kitchen, I take a piece of chocolate. Of course, I have to make a shahakal. But it's everyone knows that if I go ahead and eat the chocolate, wow, I'm eating bread. You don't make a special bracha. So, like, what Gemara is telling us, that chiddush, that if you eat it with bread, you don't make a bracha, he says he doesn't like that. See, he says like this. And this is very important. Tosfos says like this, Al Kain Perish Ri. What does it mean, Dvar Mamboy Machmas, Rasuda Vesoch Rasuda? Klomar Haragilim Lavo Machmas Rasuda Vapas. Sheragilim La'achlam Vapas. So something which you're accustomed to eat with bread, Kagom Basar Vedogim Vachomin Egdera, Vehivion Vetoch Rasuda, Ein Tunim Brachal of Nanvel Achrayim. He says, "Afilu achlam betoch chasuv lefnei atzmon." Something which you're accustomed to eat with bread. Okay, so he says, all types of potted food that we eat, so you don't make a bracha on it, even if you're going ahead and eating without bread. In other words, if we're talking about the main course or side courses, it's a whole discussion about mezonos. Anyways, we still don't make a bracha on mezonos. But he says, anything which you're accustomed to eat with bread, that's called Dvar Machlis Masuda. And even if you eat it without bread, you still do not make a bracha. So, for example, just to give, I guess, the most obvious example, let's say pastrami. People eat pastrami or corned beef with bread. So if I go out and I wash, and then after I wash, I eat pastrami or corned beef bread or corn toast, obviously that's something I would not make a bracha because that's something that's accustomed to eat with bread. He says, the kevan mishum, because once it's something which you could eat, it's normal to eat with bread, that's called mishum pas hain bayin, and it's a pas potrasum. Aval dvarim she'ein darach lava v'soch hasuda, but something which is not the derech to come into a meal, to go on tomorim v'remenim, v'monim, v'shor kol peros, she'ein regin lavas ben asapas, Tunin bracha lefneim, the kevan, the lav, mishum, lift on asu, because since it's not coming as a contaminant for a bread, it's not there to eat with the bread, ein hapas potrason, the pas does not potter it. So, what Tosfos defines as something which requires a special bracha, something which is not normal to eat with bread. Now, I'll leave you something to think about. I'm not finishing the shira, but just to think about is, even though we say the normal style is to eat something, to eat fruit in the middle of the meal, okay, I'm not really convinced, all right? What does it mean I'm not convinced? I'm not convinced very simply just because I don't mind having fruit during a meal. But when we have, let's say, for example, fruit on Shabbos, that could be like the special Shabbos thing. The question you have to ask is, and I know that our cautious on this question, is if you sit down to a meal during the week, a real meal, and you have fruit, will someone who didn't prepare the meal raise, not in the sense of saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe I have fruit, but in terms of saying, well, that's a surprise. Now, I obviously understand that if, let's say, for example, I don't think it's so surprising. I take it back, but let's say someone who usually doesn't have soup during the week, there is soup. But I don't think soup is such an abnormal thing. Really, we have to ask ourselves, we're not discussing today, is fruit something which is normal to have during a meal? And just because we have it on Shabbos does not mean it's a normal meal food. We have to really think about it.
There's also the thing to think about that there are dishes like meat dishes that are made with fruit in them.
So that for sure is considered bab machmas suda. There's no question about that. That's bab machmas suda because once it's made with the meat, chicken, and not only that, sometimes you can have, let's say, for example, a salad, right? And in the salad, you'll have fruit, right? For example, another example, pomegranate seeds, oranges, that's considered a salad, okay? And what's the proof? The proof is, you wouldn't call it a, What?
Raisins.
You wouldn't call it. I mean, you might call it a raisin salad, but you have the word salad. But I think I'm saying. But in general, when we talk about fruit itself, it's a question we have to ask. We assume that today, yeah, we all assume today that everyone eats fruits during a meal. I'm one of those people also. But the truth is, if you think about it, you know, when you're looking at a question, you have to be realistic. And are we really eating fruit during? Is fruit really a normal meal food? I'm not necessarily convinced about that. Okay, fruit is a snack. But we'll talk about it in the coming weeks. But according to Tosfos, as you saw, the definition of Tosfos is something which is normally eaten with bread. Okay. Now so let's look at source number 5. This is a little difficult. I'm gonna try and do the whole thing. Let's try to do it. So source number 5 is the Rush. Okay. Really the important sheet is here, the Rush Rabbeinu Yonah. I'm not sure I'm gonna get to the whole sugya today. I wanted to actually do every word of this. So you'll forgive me, you have to take it over to next week. I'll give a quick review next week. Get like this. Koach. Okay, I'm not sure. Chabchas. That's Simon Chabchas. Source number 5. But Adam. Just 1 second. Okay. But Adam. It's a little bigger post. One. Okay, he says like this. So, Adam. Sha'ochel v'tchilas asuda peros. Pasu peros. So, he says, Yeshli he's stopping. I apologize. It looks a little off. Im achol mehem belo pas. At the beginning of the meal, you eat fruit and bread. What does that mean? If, let's say, for example, you started the meal off, you ate some bread with fruit, and then you continue to eat fruit afterwards without the bread. In Yivarach Aleihem, in Lav, you have to make a bracha. Once you start the meal with bread and fruit together, and then you continue to eat fruit without the bread, the question is, do you have to go ahead and do you have to make a bracha on the food you're eating after finishing the bread? And the Rush says, V'svaruhu shelo yivaruch aleihem, you don't have to make a bracha on the extra fruit you eat after finishing the bread. Why? Because since you started eating the fruit with the bread, okay, the lady day have a hashta machmas asuda, because he says that is machmas asuda. The ikar suda su samachalayu, because the ikar suda, you're being so with this. The Allah lo amrinon, but lo daito kotel adam. If Rush says is machadish, if you start eating, and by the way, he says the svara, but he says you start eating the meal, you have some bread and you have some fruit. The Rush says, in that situation, you have to say, that's your Iker Suda. Which again, by the way, is definitely fascinating, because he says, what's defined as Iker Suda? The first thing that you eat? All right. He says, and you shouldn't go ahead and say, well, you know, this guy's not normal. He's having for a meal. He says, Alolo, I'm reading, we don't say for this kind of person, but la daita tzakol adam, hilkach. Kavan the Iker Hasuda Hain, since it's the Iker Hasuda, Pas Potrason, he says the Pas Potters, Afilu Ocham Membelo Pas. So just before we go on in the Rush, let's understand what the Rush says. So the Rush goes on, the Rush says, it's fast, he says, it's Svara. He says, yeah, if a person eats fruit in the middle of the meal, you got to make a special bracha. But if you started off and you ate bread first, and then, you know, you had a piece of bread with some fruit, and then that was it. You had your kazayas. You don't want to eat too much more bread. And you keep eating the fruit. The Rush says you don't make another bracha. Because since you started, he says, so that means that you're showing this is your Iker Suda. And we don't say, butla daita etzel kaladam. And for that reason, you have to go ahead. You don't have to go ahead and make a bracha. That's what the Rush says. Now, I'll tell you what's fascinating is that right now, when a quote of Yerushalmi, and in the Yerushalmi, which is a little challenging, it sounds like Yerushalmi is disagreeing with what the Rush says. But you see, it could be very well that when it comes to meal food, right? Really, things depend upon what the style is in those days. So just because in the days of Yerushalmi, the style was one way, right? So I don't think that would change. That it could mean that today would be different. So, for example, I have to tell you that I imagine sometimes if I would try to explain to my father what sushi is and what bracha you should make on sushi, I could just imagine what I'd hear from him about that. Okay, so you know, you have to understand that it's different. So he quotes to Yerushalmi. Well, Yerushalmi, I'm reading like this: Rav Huna achal tamra and pita. So he says, Rav Huna ate dates with bread, and I think he didn't make a bracha. So Amar Lei, he says, Amar Lei Rav Chiya Barashi, how could you go ahead, right, and not make a bracha? Your Rebbe held you make a bracha on dates and bread. You should do like your Rebbe. Oh, maybe you're not sure if your Rebbe's correct, so that's why you don't want to make a bracha. He says, so in order to go in line with your Rebbe, eat the fruit in a way where you'll have to make a bracha according to everybody. And what does he say? Eat the fruit when the meal is over, okay? And then you'll have to make a bracha anyway. So you'll fulfill your Rebbe shita and your shita, because even according to you, right, after the meal is over, you make a bracha. That's what he said, which is, you know, a fascinating approach. Okay, you feel differently, but to go against your Rebbe, how can you go against your Rebbe, right? So you should try to go ahead and you should try to at least within your own halachic framework follow your Rebbe shita. And he says like this. So he says. He says, Meshavkina basim razonech va'am avarach l'gul v'sof. So eat it at the very end of the meal. So according to you, have a bracha, and according to you, have to make a bracha. So he responds, it says, it's fascinating. He responds, it says, Amar Lei, inan ikor nisi negisasi. This is my ikor suda. So you want me to go ahead and leave the fruit to the end? He says, it's not going to work. He says, you're right. If my ikar suda was the meat and the corned beef and the chicken, so then, right, I can eat the fruit at the end. But for my palate, my taste buds, what I need, so he says, well, What I need, he says, is to eat the fruit of the main meal. And for me to go make it at the end of the meal and say, oh, it's not the Ikar Suda, it doesn't work, it's not honestly correct. So you're right. You know, if I could follow my Rebbe and do it according to him, it's fine. But It would not be true, it would not be correct, because I would not be honest with myself. And since I've been putting at the end of the meal, but meal me kursuda, make a bracha levatola, I can't do like that. That was his answer. So he says, so he goes like this. So he basically explains, he says, yeah, we're saying after the meal, you know, make a bracha before and afterwards. Abu Besoch Hasuda, and right now I'm 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6 lines on the bottom. Abu Besoch Hasuda, in the middle of the Suda, Ein Tunim Bracha Lachreyem, Afilu Achlam Below Pas. He says, but in the middle of the meal, okay, he says, in the middle of the meal, he says, let's not discuss what you do beforehand. But in the middle of the meal, only at the end of the meal do you need a bracha after the fruit. But in the middle of the meal, you don't need a bracha after the fruit. The E below Pas, Tunim Bracha Lachreyem. He says, because if without bread, you don't need a bracha afterwards. So kisha ochlim betoch hasuda. So then what he said to me, he said, listen, he says, you don't want to make a bracha. Eat it in a way where you can make a bracha. And what's the way you would make a bracha? Eat it at the end of the meal. So he says, I can't do that because I eat it in the meal and say, oh, it's not part of the meal. I'm fooling myself. So he says, why did he just tell him, eat it in the middle of the meal? And if you eat in the middle of the meal without bread, you got to make a bracha before and a bracha afterwards, according to your shita and according to your Rebbe shita. Says no, because in the middle of a meal without bread, you might make a bracha before, but you want to make a bracha afterwards. That's the idea. You may want to see it says like this. So in other words, so basically what Yerushalmi is saying is that if you go ahead and you make that according to Yerushalmi, you eat fruit with bread at the beginning, you don't make a bracha at all, not like this person's Rebbe. And if you in the middle you eat it without bread, then you make a bracha before and afterwards, and then you make a bracha on both. So basically, the Rosh Hashita is, what's the Rosh Hashita? The Rosh Hashita is that, as I said at the beginning, that if you go ahead and you eat, you go ahead and you eat fruit at the beginning of a meal, you have to go ahead and you eat fruit at the beginning of a meal, you have to go ahead and, sorry, so after you eat bread, you have to make a bracha before and not afterwards. If you eat it with bread, then you go ahead and you don't make a bracha. You don't make a bracha at all. This Amora did not do like his Rebbe. We passed like this Amora that if you eat fruit with bread, you don't make a bracha before or afterwards. But if you would eat the fruit after the bread, then you'd make a bracha before and not afterwards. Fine. So that's the Rosh Hashita. So according to the Rosh, halacha is that if you eat fruit at the beginning of the meal with some bread, you don't make a bracha on the fruit, even though you're eating fruit afterwards. All right. So, but then, very quickly, and I'll try to do this very quickly. I want to look at Rabbeinu Yona. He says like this. So source number 6. Give me a second. Make a little bigger, and because we actually so far have Lee Pasuk and Rabbeinu Yona. Okay. So he says like this. He says Uve emsa asuda. In the middle of the meal, after you eat it, he started to eat. He said, okay? So listen to this. These were very important words. In the middle of the meal, after you started to eat, they brought you figs and grapes in order to eat with bread. You ate with bread. And now you're eating fruit without bread. The kavanosim agayin gam v'nayim pas acharkach. He says. So what's the halacha? He says. And it's your intention afterwards to go ahead and to eat it with bread at the end. What it means is you start eating the fruit with bread, then you eat the rest of the fruits out of our bread. But your intention is the last piece of fruit you can eat with bread. So he says. Rapapa says. He says this, that that's something which is v'amach v'sasuda she'afal tisha ochol so b'lo pas klal ein levarach lo lefana v'lo le'achrav. He says. Why? Because she'me'achar she'mitchila haviu so kedei le'lapis v'asapas. Since they bought it for you to eat with bread, v'achol so tchila v'sof v'apas afal tisha ben asayim ochol v'apas. Even though in between eva bread, ein bekachlum, shem mitstarev, he says, im shara suda, kaven shivioso mitchila, the tzorach asuda lafis was a paschal of a soul. So Rabbeinu Yona says, what does it mean to eat something with bread? He said, it's not something which is always eating the bread. No, what it means is that when you start eating your bread, when you finish eating your bread, and in the middle you don't require a bracha. So he says, and that's the idea of the Soch HaSuda. Just very quickly, let's look and let's see at the very end, at the Shulchan Aruch. Just see what the Shulchan Aruch says. It says like this. At the very bottom, it's not numbered, I apologize. Bim hein dvarim havoyim shalom ach masuda. So which means, she'ein derech likvoa. She says, in dvarim shalom ach masuda, says, she'ein derech it's not the derech to eat with bread. To go and tain him, all sorts of fruit. Im ochel from below pass, you need a bracha before. He says, He says, see, if you eat about bread, he says, but if you look at the very end, he says, three lines from the bottom, in chilas achilaso. If at the very beginning of your eating, achal peros, he says, you eat peros, ima pas, you ate the fruit of bread, ubesof achal man pas, at the end you ate with bread, afilu im benesayim achim below pas, even if the middle, he says, even if the middle, you went ahead and you ate without bread, einem tunim bracha aflef mayem, you don't require a bracha, you don't require a bracha even afterwards. So what does the Shulchan Aruch say? The Shulchan Aruch says that if you go ahead and Rav Yonah, if you ate fruit in the middle of the meal and you started off with bread and finished with bread, you don't make a bracha. However, if you didn't do that, so then you have to go ahead and you have to make a bracha on the fruit. So just to leave it where it is, to stand up psak halacha, and next week maybe we'll talk about the poskim on this. So basically, if you eat fruit in the middle of the meal, according to the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara, according to the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, if you eat the fruit, first of all, if the only thing you're eating is fruit in the meal, there's no question that you go ahead and you don't make a special bracha. If you're eating other things in the meal, but you start off the meal by the fruit, by eating a piece of bread at the beginning and a piece of bread at the end, you don't have to make a bracha. You don't have to make a bracha. That's the halacha. So, Mirtz Hashem, next week we'll see more about the sugya. But just remember, that's the psak halacha. All right? So, any questions before I sign off? All right. So, Mirtz Hashem.
Wait, so yeah. If we have melon or grapefruit as a first course, and we're not eating any bread afterwards, then what?
So according to halacha, the Shulchan Aruch, okay, we'll see the fly. The question flies today. You have to go ahead and you have to have a, you have to go ahead and you have to make a bracha on the, you have to make a bracha on the melon or the grapefruit, all right? But if you,
Berachat HaMazon covers it at the end.
Yeah, at the end, right. But if you're going to eat the first bite with a piece of bread and the last bite with a piece of bread, then according to Shulchan Aruch, you don't make a bracha. So if I ever have fruit in the middle of the meal, I try to do that. They have a piece of bread at the beginning, a piece of bread at the end. That's what I try to do. Now we'll see next week. Maybe it's not relevant to today. I have to think offhand that probably it is, but I'll see what the post can say. So, Mirtz Hashem, that'll be next week's topic, all right?
Rav Chaim. Is there a difference between things that we call fruit that you say hadama on them?
I don't think so. I don't think so because you know, it all depends what it is. Fruit's a fruit. Even though you make it.
What? I mean, like melon.
Yes. Yeah, so in other words, I you're right. I could be wrong. I happen to see melon as a snack. So, but that's my opinion. But we'll see. Let's see next week what the post can say. All right? I really haven't looked into it. So, I'm sorry to keep everyone in suspense for a week. But, you know, whatever. Just think about it. Discuss it. Come back with your answers. All right? Anyways, everyone should have a wonderful week. All right? Mitzvah Shem, next Sunday morning.
Thank you.
Thank you
very
much.
Have a good week.
Okay.
Shavuot Tov,
everybody.
Thank you. Shavuot Tov.
Yeah, stay healthy. Stay healthy, everybody.
Okay. Take care.
Amen.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.